for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday afternoon, July the 3rd, 1985. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Irma Miller is the speaker of the afternoon.
Irma's going to come and minister. Irma, come on and...
Take out the trash, remove the debris from me. Clean me up and wash me down, make me what you want me to be. Although it might hurt when you remove all the dirt from me. Whatever it takes, take out the trash in me. From the devil's dust, my soul began to rust. Sin had left its stain on me. But Jesus' love, just like such from above, came and washed me squeaky clean. Oh, take out the trash, remove the debris from me. Clean me up, wash me down, and make me what you want me to be. Well, I know it might hurt when you remove all the dirt from me. Whatever it takes, take out the trash in me. Whatever it takes, take out the trash in me.
In case none of you know, this is a deliverance center. Do I have enough volume back there? The Lord called us here about 11 years ago now to open this deliverance center, and we didn't know really what we were getting into. We had had a lot of deliverance ourselves, but we didn't realize, really. We thought we were the worst ever, but we didn't realize that everybody needs deliverance. We've got this trash in us. We've brought it from Egypt, and we have to ask the Lord to take it out. Now, some people don't think they have anything wrong with them. You know, they sit like this, and they don't even try to get delivered. But that's all right, because all of you that want to be delivered, let's just go right on. Go right on. We need to get this trash out of us. Who in the world do you know without spot or wrinkle? There is no one that we know about. And how can God turn this anointing upon us that he's trying to pour out upon us that will destroy the yoke if he can't trust us with it, if we're full of lust or if we're full of deceit or lying or stealing? And I tell you, it's in some Christians worse than it is in the sinners. I don't know why, really. I really don't know why, but I guess the enemy just fights us and fights us and fights us until we give in. Now, we started yesterday about, what did we start on first?
Fault finding.
Now, if you could live through the scorched soup at noon and not find fault, then you know you're queened in that area. You see, yesterday, Norman Parrish didn't preach very long, so we were caught about 20 minutes till 12 with our food not quite ready. So today they got it ready early, and then he preached till 25 after 12. So it was, you can hold back and warm over just so long, and then pretty soon it starts to scorch or burn. Well, anyway, if you got by eating that soup that tasted scorched without complaining or murmuring, then you can praise God that you got it all out of you yesterday. And let's see, what else? What else did we start on yesterday? What else?
Yesterday
nitpicking and finding fault with preachers and ministries, murmuring and complaining. Now, that was what the children of Israel sinned about, wasn't it? And spiritual pride, yes. I am so holy. I am so good, and you are so bad. That type of spirit. I'm telling you, we're all in this together. My whole body makes up my body, and you, all of us, make up the body of Christ. And so we're all in this together, but every joint supplieth, and what my thumb does, my kidney doesn't do, does it? And what my heart does, my liver doesn't do. So we're in the body of Christ with every joint supplying. I didn't get to hear all that sermon this morning.
We're missing some children next door, and they are concerned about them, the Huffman children and the Bogan children. Anybody here know why they...
Where they are?
Why? All right. And the Huffman children.
We lost a little boy Monday night, I guess it was, and spent about 2 hours of anxiousness. Well, anyway, let's get back on our subject now. Today, I promised the ladies yesterday we would take up gluttony today. I said that's a minor spirit. Minor? My land, you should have seen what went on up there. And lust for food, lust of the eye. And we got into several different aspects of overweight, water retention, and all that's caused by evil spirits. Now, you may not want to agree with me, and really, you don't have to agree with me. Just experience it. I've worked with engineers and scientists for years, and they didn't get to the moon by just saying it was this and so. They experimented constantly. And try it out. Try it. You might like it. You know? And try deliverance. You might like it. And ask the Lord to deliver you, because the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Now, you have to do some calling, and you have to do a lot of repenting. We don't repent enough. We made a few decisions, and we've prayed a little, but tomorrow we're going to have our fasting and prayer day. Now, that's going to be something, because so many people say they can't fast. Now, that's not true. Are you letting your body tell you that and rule you, or are you being ruled by the Holy Spirit? See, the Holy Spirit should be the ruler. We should be walking in the Spirit, and our soul or our mind carries out what the Holy Spirit tells it to do, and the body is the slave. It has to do it. The soul gives the message and the body has to carry it out. Now, tomorrow, I know you can fast if you want to, but you have to turn on your want to. Now, if you get headaches when you fast, that means you're full of poison and toxics. Now, our secretary, I don't know where she is, but last February, we were having tea or something, or I was, and I said, you want some tea and a cookie? No. And about 2 days went by, and I looked at her one day, and I said, are you sick? She said, no. Why? I said, well, I don't know. I thought maybe you were sick. And another day or two went by, and I asked her again, are you sick, Patty? You're so white. She says, no, my body's angry. I said, angry? She says, because I'm fasting. And she went on a 40-day fast. Have you ever been on a 40-day fast, anybody?
No.
I mean, been on a one-day fast. Good. How many's never been on a fast? You can put up your hands. I'm not going to scold you. You have to make up your mind, because the Lord said to fast, didn't he? And he fasted. Moses fasted. Elijah fasted. So you can fast if you want to. And it's a common practice here on the campground that every Thursday we fast. And at noon we meet here at 12 o'clock and we pray for all the drastic needs and the undrastic needs and whatever has telephoned in or letters that have come in, we pray. Now, sometimes it is horribly drastic. And if you were one of those drastic cases, you would want us to fast and pray, wouldn't you?
Amen.
And so you have to be willing, as I understood Norman this morning, you have to be willing workers to help others. And when there's a great need, don't just say, well, that's too bad, isn't it? We have to get down to business to pray. Prayer will not hurt you, but it's work. It's hard work. And if you don't pray when you have the time to pray, and then you expect everybody else to pray for you, then God will not put up with that forever. Many women have lots of time to pray and to fast and to read the Word, and all they do is complain how bored they are. Then other of us who work from 6:30 in the morning till night and then pray half the night, I hope we don't complain too much about it, but you can do it. If old grandmas like me can do it, then you young women can do it, I know. Now, I'm not scolding you, but I'm just saying that you can fast if you want to, and it's very good for your body. Fast with hot water, or probably in the morning we'll have juice and coffee for those who just can't handle without anything in their stomach. But it's very good to drink hot water and maybe with a little spoon of honey in it for a few days if you want to go on a long fast. But Glenn is a better faster than me, and you can see he's a little skinnier than I am. Of course, he runs a lot more than I do. He runs up and down these fields around here taking care of this campground. But anyway, we had quite a manifestation, and we almost could have had a free-for-all. You know, you start touching people's food, what they eat, and you got things on your hands. But really, we do need healthy bodies, and we must come to the realization that we can't do just anything we please. Or we can't eat just anything we please, because God has laid out in His Word the clean and the unclean. He has said to do certain things and not to do certain things, and I imagine Glenn will talk to you tomorrow. We have a tremendous amount of incest cases. And incest and also abortion cases and molestation cases. It's even in Dear Abby's column. And it's in the church today. There are lesbians in the church today that need help. There are homosexuals in the church today that need help. So we must be able to help them. Now, you cannot help people if you're not clean yourself in that area. And I'm not standing up here and telling you I'm totally clean, because I know I'm not. But I'm seeking God, and I would get them all out today if I could. But see, God says, I will drive them out little by little. Because probably if He drove everything out of us today, we wouldn't know ourselves. Because we're going to be new creations totally when he gets through with us of cleaning out the trash out of us. Now, I think perhaps some days that I think the worst spirit is rebellion and witchcraft. Now, we just touched on that a little bit today. But you run a campground for a few days, 3 days, one day, and you'll see how much rebellion really exists in the body of Christ yet. Really. And we need to ask God to take it out of us. It is witchcraft, the Bible says, as witchcraft. And we have inherited from our forefathers witchcraft. The majority of people have, some way or other, in some facet or other, we have inherited witchcraft. It is visited down for four generations, 3 to 4 generations. Well, it was visited down on me. It came from my great-grandmother when they came from Germany, and I don't remember her too much, but she told fortunes and read palms. She's a good old lady. She made cookies and rocked me in a chair and rocking chair. And she was a lovely woman. But she didn't have any teaching on it. That was just kind of a way of life over in Germany, I guess. But you see, I never did go to a fortune teller. I read a few horoscopes, but I had it in me, and it came out of me roaring and angry and mad. And I didn't figure out where it was coming from for a long time. Some of you have heard me say how I found out. See, Derek Prince said to me, you and Glenn are under the power of a fortune teller. And I said, well, we've never been to a fortune teller. I grew up, my dad was an Assembly of God minister. We were all saved in 1932. And you know, I never dreamed, but I said to him, I don't want to have this. I don't want it. And he started to pray, and he said, the Lord is showing me by the gift of the Spirit that it's coming through your mother's side of the family. And sure enough, when I finally talked to my parents, my mother told me that she had been to a fortune teller, and my grandmother had been, and my great-grandmother. And see, it was visited down upon me. Now, the root of compulsive eating comes from the occult. The root of talking comes from the occult. I can usually tell people right away that have occult powers in them. That's one of the ways that the Lord shows me, because they're just talking. They've got all kinds of things they want to say. And all kinds of reading books that we shouldn't be reading. We should be reading the Bible more. And see, the Bible cleans us. It cleanses us. We recently, this winter, we did a whole series, week after week on Thursday night, of the enemies that the children of Israel had to face in Canaan. And I want to read a few things. I didn't know I was going to speak. All the men have disappeared, I guess, or something. But anyway, Glenn's working the plumbing. I want to tell you, I don't know. I like to make things very clear. So when you hear it once, I've cleared it up so you understand. Because the city has not hooked us up quite yet to the sewers, we have cesspools all around. And if you get in the shower and take these long showers, there's so much water with so many people here that these leech lines can't carry it off. So try to take shorter showers. Get in, wet down, soap up, and rinse off and get out. I know it's fun to stay in the shower for about 20 minutes and let that hot water run on your back, but we just can't afford that kind of luxury here, because it'll be maybe a month or two before they hook us up. And we haven't had that problem before until just here lately. So try to be temperate about it, if you can, if you possibly can. Is that too much to ask? And because, you see, all the water from upstairs, it lands down here in these restrooms and back there in that restroom. This morning when I got in about 6:30 or 6:45, they were swabbing out the water. And someone tells me that about 4 o'clock in the morning, somebody took a 20-minute shower and ran water and ran water and ran water. Now, that is unauthorized, and that's rebellion. You're supposed to get in bed at 11 and stay there till morning, other than going to the bathroom. But, I mean, you don't have to take a shower in the middle of the night. So please be careful about those things, because you bother other people. And everybody needs a rest. Well, anyway, well, let's get back on these Canaanite people. We discovered that the Amorites were talkers. They talk to you inside. How many hear voices? How many hear things? Or you get these thoughts that are so way off from Christianity? Well, it's the Amorites. And they talk, they'll tell you, you are crazy for being here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp this week. You'll get those thoughts. And they'll say, especially if you're wanting to press on into Jesus, they'll say to you, you shouldn't be here. You should be spending the 4th of July on a beach someplace. You know what I mean? It's those thoughts that keep coming to you. These are the Amorite spirits. And you have to overcome that. You see, the children of Israel, they had a horrible time overcoming their enemies, didn't they? And we have a horrible time. Now, the Hittites are the high livers. They want everything, the very most swanky, the very best, the most elaborate. And they'll talk to you and say, you deserve that. You deserve that. And it'll say things, well, you shouldn't give in to the work of God. You should use that money to go into business with, or all that. That's what those Hittites will say to you. The Perizzites, they're squatters. They just come and they move in on you, and they just stay there, and they don't do too much, but they steal from you. They're sort of oblivious, but they'll steal your peace. They'll steal your joy. They'll just steal your money. You'll waste your money on things you really don't want to buy. And those are the Perizzites. Now, the Canaanites, they're murderers. They're the ones that's operating strongly in the abortion field today. So if you want to come against abortion spirits, come against the spirit of the Canaanite. They're always wanting to kill and to destroy. Now, one time we've had this spirit Abaddon come around. You know, he's the angel that keeps the keys to the bottomless pit in the book of Revelation. And he is a strong devil. I mean, he'll throw you around all over. We were praying for a lady upstairs on the second floor. And I mean, these big men, she was tossing around like they were a peanut. But these are murdering types spirits. Do you ever think murder? Do you ever say, I could just kill her for doing that? Do you ever do that? Well, those are coming, see, from that spirit. Or you look at somebody just like you're going to kill them. Want to kill them, see? And then, of course, all the other spirits. Now, the Havites, they are the ones that make you hate people. Hate people. The Hivites make you want to hate people and dislike people. And they'll tell you, she doesn't like you. And they'll tell you, she don't love you. Or they'll tell you, Jesus doesn't love you. And they just talk to you constantly in your thought life. See, the battle is in the mind to a great extent. Anyway, they will keep it up and keep it up and keep it up until you will imagine that you don't like somebody. You'll get to believe in it. Now, the Jebusites are those that trod you down, hold you down, put you down, and discourage you. Do you ever get discouraged? Lots of people get discouraged. And I've been discouraged lots of times around here. I have been discouraged. And I want people to grasp this by the Spirit, not because we say it, but to grasp it by the Spirit, because it's good for all of us. It's good for the body of Christ to be deliverers. And these Jebusites will try to keep you discouraged. And I heard Brother Parrish say this morning that, you know, they'll discourage you and discourage you until you keep coming back for deliverance. And you let seven more spirits come in you because you entertain discouragement. Don't entertain these thoughts. When they come in, when you think them, say, no, no, get out of me in Jesus' name. And they'll scurry away right away. But if you say, hey, yeah, I don't think Phil Hess likes me, you know. And he didn't come in and greet me this morning. See? Or somebody else. Glenn just passed me right up. I was trying to say something to him. See, things like that, these spirits talk to you, and they get to you to believe it. And it's not true at all. And it makes you believe a lie. Do you see what I mean? They discourage you. Okay. Now, these are all our enemies that we must overcome. Now, I don't say that everybody has those. There are lots of other things. Lust, for instance. And some of these people sacrifice their babies constantly to their gods. And the children of Israel, the worst trouble about it, they started taking up with them. I think the worst thing the children of Israel ever did when Moses was gone and they made the golden calf and said, this is what brought us out of Egypt. What could be worse? That would be discouraging. No wonder he threw down the commandments. No wonder. Then he had to go back up there and fast a whole lot longer to get them back again. But see, those people, could drive him to destruction, you know, with their rebellion. And with their murmuring, but to say that this is what brought us out of Egypt, that golden calf, when they knew very well it was the Lamb, the Lord, the fire over them, leading them and guiding them. So we need to watch and not be listening to the Hivites and the Jebusites and all of these things that throw these thoughts at us, because we must overcome and overcome and overcome and overcome. Now, is it easier, you that have been here lots of times, that have come lots of times, is it easier for you to overcome now than it was the first time you came and heard? And I know a lot of times you're going to have to hear and you're going to have to be prayed for more than once, and that's all right. It's not perfect, the perfect way, but it's all right. And don't feel condemned if something has come back in you and you need more prayer. Just come boldly to the throne of grace, because the Lord says, whoever calls, and he prayed for the blind man twice. And other times he prayed. I'm sure he prayed for Lazarus before he ever arrived there at the grave. So don't be under condemnation. These Canaanites and all these spirits will try to put you under condemnation. But don't come under the condemnation of all those things. Because if you do, then the minute you start entertaining condemnation, then other things will start coming in. They'll say, uh-oh, we got her now. Come on, come on, come on, all our friends. And they all come in and sweep down against you. Now, many ministries are under serious attacks right now. And a lot of it is coming from Christians who condemn them all the time. That's a curse. That's a curse that we can put on people. And we were at the Oral Roberts Ministers meeting this last week, and I'll tell you, they came down hard. Almost every ministry came down hard on people who condemn other ministries and other men of God. And they told of cases where they didn't do anything about it. They just said, "Lord, take care of that. Lord, would you take care of that for me?" And it wasn't very long. Those people were wiped off of the face of the earth. This is serious business. We're not playing church anymore. We are so near to the very end that we cannot afford to play church anymore. And I wouldn't begin to condemn ministries until I've done as much as they've had or more. There's many ministries on television that are winning many souls to the Lord Jesus. And we have no right. We may not condone what they do, but let God handle them. Don't you think He's big enough to handle them? Pray for them. Pray for them that they will not be sucked in by the enemy with greed or whatever. But many, many times, and you're going to be persecuted. Everybody that comes into deliverance is going to be persecuted. You're going to hear it from your own church and your friends and your relatives and almost everybody around you. But you just hang in there because you know that you know that you know. How many people were delivered, said in the last night meeting or the night before meeting or in the upstairs meetings or in the men's meetings? Let me see your hands. Now, are you going to let people talk you out of that? No, you can overcome by the word of your testimony. And it's amazing when you start talking about something that you're delivered of, there'll be several women say, "Oh, I need that too. Will you pray for me?" And you can start your own deliverance ministry. But do it with grace and with some wisdom. Do it with some wisdom. I know when you first come into deliverance, it's just so awesome and that all you can talk about is deliverance. But there's a lot more further up the road for all of us. The Lord wants us to do mighty works, the greater works, but He must have us cleaned up. He must be able to trust us. He must be able to say, "He is a man of God. I can trust Him with this kind of an anointing." Otherwise, we'd call fire down on almost everybody that crossed us, you see. Or we'd be so proud we'd destroy ourselves. There are many ministries have destroyed themselves because of their use of the gifts of the Spirit wrong, or used it to get money, and they have destroyed themselves, and they've destroyed lots of other people when they went down. So we have to be very, very careful. This is precious that we have. You know, you realize that Jesus is living inside of you? Most people that I pray for that smoke, I ask them, "Does Jesus live inside of you?" And they say, "Yes." I said, "Well, how can you take a big drag on that cigarette and blow smoke on Jesus in His face then?" And that really gets them. That really shakes them. If Jesus stood right here today, would you come up with your cigarette and blow smoke in His face? And now, Jesus can do a lot for us. But you have to do some things yourself. And those cigarettes should be tossed out and said no more. And ask the Lord to deliver you from nicotine spirits and that desire, and He will do it. We've had all kinds. We deliver lots of people that smoke that don't even know we're praying. We use that scripture, "You can deliver those who don't want to be delivered by the cleanness of your hands through intercessory prayer." And we pray and pray and pray. And many people just stop smoking. They never know why they did it. They just decide it's not good for them. So you see, you can do lots of praying in your prayer closet, in your own home. And also for your husbands. Many wives are having very lot of problem with their husbands. Or husbands are having trouble with some of their wives also. And we get these calls about divorce and all these things. But you can do an awful lot by praying for your husband, and it will work much faster than it will nagging him. If he doesn't want deliverance, then you can't force it. You see, Glenn did not everything was under the blood, and no Christian could have a demon. That was his attitude. The first time I ever heard Derek Prince preach on deliverance, I knew I was full of them, and I wanted them out. And I would tell Glenn, "I have demons." And he'd say, "No, you don't." And I'd say, "Oh, but I do." And my father, who was a minister, he'd say, "Oh, honey, you're just imagining that." I said, "No, there's something inside of me. I can feel them." And I had a hard time finding somebody that would pray for me. It took me about 6 or 8 months. And I used to walk, when Glenn would go to town, at that time we just sold our business and he wasn't working. When he'd leave, I used to close up our house had a long hall with bedrooms and stuff on either side. And I used to close all that up and I used to walk up and down in the hall with my hands up to the Lord and saying, "Lord, please deliver me. Please deliver me." And I'd cry out.
It says whoever calls on the name of the Lord's going to be delivered. And I called out, and I called out. And finally one day, a man came, and he prayed for me. And I tell you, it was the most glorious feeling to have that load out of me and all of that guilt. And I thought I was totally delivered after he left. I mean, I praised the Lord. I had a wonderful time for about 3 days, and all of a sudden, fear struck me, horrible fear. And I had to call him up because we didn't have any teaching. Can you imagine 20, 25 years ago, there was no teaching at all. And I had to call him up and tell him, it's on me again. There's something on me. And he just said, oh, it's fear. The Lord showed him what it was. And he cast it off of me right over the phone. And, you know, I started to learn then how to combat, how to have spiritual warfare. One of the main prophecies that came forth over at this minister's meeting, there was about 2,500 people there, was that you can take your city and you can take your, pray for your relative, you can become victorious through spiritual warfare. Through spiritual warfare. And you ladies, if you don't understand, maybe tomorrow up in the ladies' meeting, I will give you some demonstrations of how to really have spiritual warfare. If there was a big snake right down here in the middle of your dining room, what would you do? Pat it on the head and say, oh, praise God. You'd get up and do something about it, wouldn't you? And you ladies, you can do something about your household and your home by walking through your house and commanding evil spirits to leave. And then keeping quiet and watch what happens. You've heard me tell it before, these Catholic women who come to our prayer group in California, they heard about prayer clause for the first time. They had drunken husbands, and they had just gotten the Holy Spirit, and they were pretty wild. They were like this cheering crowd down here on the front. Every place we go to speak, I wish I had just this group right here to go along with us. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But these women came. They heard us talking about prayer clause and healings and things, and so they came the next week with T-shirts, pajamas, pillowcases, and we prayed over them. And, you know, they went home and put those pillowcases on their bed, and these men come home drunk that night. And they came back the next week. They were more hilarious. They came back the next week and said, our husbands came home drunk, and they went to bed, and they jumped up out of bed and started vomiting. They vomited half the night. And they said, we are not going to drink that stuff anymore if it's going to make us sick like this. And they quit drinking. Quit drinking. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see, the Lord makes everything so simple, and we make it so hard, don't we? We make it so difficult. But the Lord Jesus makes it so simple. On Thursdays, when people write in, they ask for anointed prayer cloths. What we do, some lady makes us these little prayer cloths. What we do, we pray for the people, whatever the problem is, and we lay those prayer cloths on us, and we pray in the Spirit, and we pass them around to everybody in the group, and they pray, and then we mail them out, and we get all kinds of answers back up. One woman had been in a coma. I forget now, she's 70-some years old, and been in a coma in a rest home for weeks. And her husband, he always types his little postcards, and he wrote for a prayer card and or prayer cloth, and we sent it to him, and you know, he put that on her, and about the next day, she started opening her eyes, and when he came back to see her, she wanted to go home, and he took her home. Now, you see, that's the power of the Holy Ghost. See, that's very scriptural now. I know it's abused. You know, we haven't been walking this way for 50 years, not seeing a lot of abuse about everything, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. It can be effective, if you want it to be effective. And what you can do is pray over your children's clothes. You'd be surprised how rebellion will leave those children. You can go to the hospital and leave a prayer cloth, leave a handkerchief or something on somebody that's sick, and lay hands on them. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And all these things you can do. You don't have to have, we don't have to have pulpit ministries to be ministering. Did you know that? And the Lord called Glenn and I into the ministry of helps. And our basic thrust here is helping others. Constantly helping others. And I don't mean just lightly helping them. We take all these requests. That one that came in this morning about the picnic tomorrow, that was very important to that one lady. She wanted to make sure that all her family would be into unity tomorrow at the family picnic, so she would be able to witness to them and they would receive Christ. Now, isn't that a good prayer request? And I believe that that's going to happen. I believe that the Lord hears us. I know He hears all of you. We can feel your prayers miles away. There's sometimes I sit in the office and there's so much work here to do in the office, and I'll feel somebody praying for me. The power of God just comes down all over me and covers me. And I sit there real quiet. I don't move a peg. I just sit there and I just drink it all in. And it just revitalizes me. It strengthens me. It lifts me up. I don't care what I'm doing. It will lift me up. And prayer, all of you can pray. All of you can pray for us. We have horrible, drastic cases that come here day and week in and week out that need a lot of prayer. Yesterday, was it yesterday, the girl, she formerly was married to the man that was head of the mafia here in town, and she's gotten saved. And she brought that Jewish lady yesterday. And then she came to the meeting yesterday afternoon. People like that, they need our help. And she just said she just got so much out of that meeting yesterday, just so much. And we take church for granted many times, don't we? We go in, and if we don't feel like singing, we don't sing. If we don't feel like praying, if we feel like sleeping, we sleep. I mean, is that true? But we need to put everything into this that we've got. I mean, do it with all your might, with joy. Do your work with joy. Do your praying with joy and believe that you're going to receive. Now, this place, when we came here, we put every dime that we had into this place. We had worked very hard ever since we were married, and we'd had a wonderful job and made big money in California. And we thought, or I thought, I don't know what Glenn thought, but I thought we was going to retire when we was 50 because I was really tired of supervising, typing and printing and all that stuff at all those aerospace places. And I thought, we sold our aerospace, our printing company and typing company, and I thought I was going to get to sit home, stay home, and retire and really enjoy myself. And instead, God called us here. Glenn had this vision of this actual place. It's very phenomenal, the vision was, and I didn't like it. And I didn't want to come. Especially, I didn't want to leave Southern California. And I was trying to make the vision happen in Southern California, but it never would happen there. Because we had to have green trees and leaves falling off the trees and clear stream of water and the waterfall and everything that is here. And it took us 7 years to get here. Now, we don't follow dreams and visions altogether. They ought to be tried out. I see lots of people have a little vision and off they run and they're into the pits pretty soon. But this was tried out, and God called us here. We certainly didn't think this place up at all. And God has called us, and you people have made it possible. And I do thank you for all your prayers. I thank you for all of your giving. I thank the Lord for every one of you that come and make it possible. And we have wonderful and joyful conventions and joyful times here. And none of us are totally delivered. We get delivered all the time around here, all of us. Yesterday or day before, I've had an attack from the air conditioner from the getting too hot and having the air conditioner blow on me. But I have to keep fighting it all the time. And other people have been praying for me. Then I had an attack on my leg. I fell into the kitchen from outside. And my leg is practically healed today. All your prayers, see, and the Lord has answered. I've never had problems with my legs. I've had jobs that I stood up almost all the time. And I've never had a pain in my legs. And I just praise God for good, strong legs. Because it takes good, strong legs around here to do all the work there is to do. And I praise God for delivering power, don't you? Now, I'm not going to go into too strong a deliverance session right now, I don't think. But I would like to come against the spirits of Canaan. Have you ever had the spirits of Canaan? Have you ever come against them before? Recently, I wrote a letter, an article on intimidation. And in January, the Lord started giving me that. And I would mull it around in my mind, especially in the middle of the night when I'd wake up. And, you know, it was a strange thing. When we were over there last week, one of the main things they were coming down with, don't be intimidated by people. Don't be intimidated by people. You know, people will work you right out of the deliverance ministry if they can. They will. It's a terrible rumor that we don't do deliverance here, but I'm sure all of you can squelch that rumor. It's going around all over the country. We don't do deliverance here at Lake Hamlet. Well, we don't do all deliverance around here. There's a lot more in the Bible than deliverance. And you can't have all deliverance or you'll go crazy. You know, who wants this day in the day out 24 hours a day? But we must have it. We must have it. But that's why we have all these other ministries come in that will teach you and help you. We're moving into the total and full anointing, into the hundredfold. And it's going to take a lot of battles yet before we get there. Well, we're going to keep on pressing and pressing and pressing and pressing to the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And that's going to take a lot more than what we're doing. A lot more. And we've got to get serious. I mean, dead serious. about our own selves and get honest about our own selves. We can't say, well, that jealousy's not in there. Well, it is in there, but I'm not going to... I don't want to be delivered of jealousy. Or this and that and this and that is not in us. But we've got Egypt out of us. We've got to war against these Canaanites. Amen. And we're going to come up to Zion. You want to go up to Zion? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to go up to Zion. I think we'll just pray right now and see what the Lord's going to do. Father, you pray after me. Dear Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We need more of Egypt out of us. And more of you in us. We want power and authority over these Canaanite spirits. Over these Hivite spirits. And these Jebusites. And the Hittites. And all these other spirits that have come in and talked to us and caused us distress. We do not want to listen to these Canaanites talk anymore. We do not want to entertain these thoughts. We want our minds clear. We want to be washed in the precious blood. We ask you to forgive us for taking up with the ways of the Canaanites, for building altars and idolizing things, especially idolizing ministries, or idolizing our children, or our wealth, all the other kind of idolatry. We want to be free from it. And Lord, this rebellion, we ask you to cleanse our hearts of rebellion and deliver us from witchcraft. The things that we have inherited from our forefathers, that's in our bloodline. We ask you to cleanse our blood that has not been cleansed yet. And wash us, Lord, and turn the light on us. And let us see what's deep down in us that needs cleansing and purging. Forgive us of these sins, these willful sins, that we've done things that we knew better. And we've turned back to the ways of the world in many ways. Forgive us, Jesus, and cleanse us by the precious blood. We ask you now, Lord, to deliver us from all these things that plague us and hold us back from your best. Now just let the blood of Jesus cleanse you. Cleanse you from listening to murmuring, complaining, listening to the enemy when he comes at you. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. It atones. It avails. Hallelujah for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah for the blood of Jesus. Praise you for your blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for delivering these precious people. Thank you, Lord, for taking all this out of them. Deliver them, Lord, this afternoon. We command all these Jebusites to go. All these Canaanites to go. In the name of Jesus, just let them go. You don't have to make a big scene. You don't have to let them make a big scene. Just kick them out in the name of Jesus. If they do, that's all right, but it's not necessary. Come on out in Jesus' name. Hittites, come out. Those things that steal from them. Those voices that cause them turmoil in their mind. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Come on out in the name of Jesus. I bind your power. I bind your power. You get out of these people in the name of Jesus. All the Jebusites out in Jesus' name. All the Hittites out in Jesus' name. All the Hivites out in Jesus' name. All the Amorites out. Those that talk to you. All the extravagance. High living. Not caring for others. All these parasites that are squatters. All these squatters that have come in to live in the temple of God. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. All these Hivites that hate, cause you to hate others and dislike others and keep the love of God from coming. Come on out. They're coming out in Jesus' name. Let them come out in Jesus' name. Let them come out in Jesus' name. Let them come out in Jesus' name. The Lord is our deliverer. The Lord is our deliverer.
There is no other. There is no other but Jesus. Look at Jesus. He's your deliverer. Look at Jesus. He's your deliverer. All the Amorites. Come out, Amorites, in Jesus' name. Come out, Amorites, in Jesus' name. Come out, Hittites, in Jesus' name. All the Canaanites, the ways of Canaan, the enemies, the giants in the land, in your land. Come out, you giants, in Jesus' name. Come on out, in Jesus' name. Come on out, in Jesus' name. All the giants in you that don't belong in you. We overpower them by the blood of Jesus, by the word of our testimony, by the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's just incredible. When our group was meeting, the way the Jebusites were coming out, we took one case each night, and in the Encyclopedia Britannica, there's about 15 pages on the Jebusites. And do you know, when we started to command them to come out, it was incredible. I noticed when they first started to come out, people would open their mouths wider than you ordinarily open your mouth. I mean, it went... Oh, they were going like that. They didn't make a sound. And that's what's going on here this afternoon. It's very quiet. But if you'd stand up here, you would see that's how they're manifesting. Well, that's all right. And the more we prayed that night, the more they came out, and my mouth opened so wide that I could feel like it was going to tear here. Praise you, Jesus. Just keep in the spirit now. Just let these come out. They don't have to be so noisy. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out. That's right. Come on out. Jesus' name. We breathe in the Holy Spirit. We breathe out or cast out the evil one. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Just keep right on. They're coming out. Just stay in the Spirit. Stay in the Spirit. Just let them come out. Being yawns. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, however they want to come out, just throw them out. Throw them out. All the things that steal from you and destroy your peace, come out in Jesus' name. Destroyers, come out in Jesus' name. Destroyers, come out in Jesus' name. All these things that destroy you, come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, destroy your peace, destroy your love. Steal from you. The enemy comes to kill, to steal, destroy us. But we don't have to let him. He is more afraid of us this afternoon than we are of him. What is inside of us is so strong. Jesus Christ lives in me. Say that. Jesus Christ lives in me. Jesus Christ is Lord in me. Hallelujah. Think about that. Jesus is alive. He's alive in us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He lives in us. We worship him. We worship him. We praise him. We praise him for delivering us. Whoever calls, he said, I'll deliver you. Whoever calls, I'll deliver you. You believe that? You have to call. He's not going to force anything on you with a glory hammer. You call out. I think it was Brother Thompson when he was here. He said the greatest prayer we could ever pray is, help, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me. How many times a day do you cry out, Lord, help me? All the time we do around here, Lord, help me. Lord, help us. Lord Jesus, we can't do anything without you, Lord. We need you. We need your love. We need your blessing. We need your wisdom. There's a spirit called lack of wisdom. Some people just never ask for wisdom. But the Lord gives it every day. He's got plenty of wisdom to give us. And we need wisdom to walk in this walk. We need the Lord's wisdom. Let's just say, Lord, give us wisdom. Yes, give us peace and long-suffering. Spirit of wisdom. And give us understanding, Lord. Give us knowledge of the Word. Open up with revelations of the Word of God. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you for your knowledge and your wisdom of what you're teaching us through the body of Christ, what you're giving it to us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I thank you for wisdom. I thank you for the gift of discerning of spirits, both good spirits and bad spirits. The gift of discerning of spirits. How many would like to receive the gift of discerning of spirits? So that you'll know. You'll know if these things are attacking you. They attack you through other people. And they steal from you through other people. And they drain you. That's right, they drain you. And give you discerning of spirits of how to pray for certain people that you don't know what to do. Lord, I just ask you to let the gift of discerning of spirits fall upon these people. Open up their spiritual eyes that they can see. Let them see. Let them recognize. That's right. She's praying down here. Let us recognize the enemy. Let us recognize the enemy. Show us the enemy. Show us the enemy, Lord. Show us the enemy, Lord. Show us the angels. Show us the angels. Show us the angelic hosts. The angels of the Lord. Show it to us, Lord Jesus. Open our spiritual eyes. Open our spiritual eyes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We lose these people to receive the gift of discerning of spirits, both good and evil spirits. We'll know good and we'll know evil. Yes. Lord, give us the word of knowledge to go with it. Lord, I release the Holy Spirit, the gift of the word of knowledge upon these people, that they will have the knowledge when they see, when you open their spiritual eyes and they see these things, they'll know what to do. Lord, we just release that gift of the Spirit upon them, the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. That the word of wisdom comes to them, that they'll have a word of wisdom to give to people. That they won't be flailing around, rattling their teeth on saying things that's not of you, Lord. That you will give them this word of wisdom, this gift of the word of wisdom. They'll know how to answer people, how to pray for people. Lord, we need this afternoon. Let it flow over this congregation. Just start receiving. Start receiving from the Lord these gifts. We lose the gifts of the Spirit to operate through these people. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We lose these gifts. We lose these gifts. We lose these gifts. Lord, make us all receivers today. Holy Andalama Parisianda. I praise you, Lord Jesus. I praise you, Lord Jesus. I praise you for releasing these people. Lord, I thank you that they have room in there to receive these gifts now. Let the Holy Spirit just fall upon us this afternoon like a great canopy. Just receive in. Receive in the Lord. Just take in all these areas that you've been cleaned out. You've thrown out lots of things today. Now just take in the Holy Spirit. Receive. Receive ye the Holy Spirit into those areas. It's a lot better to be 60% filled with the Spirit than it is 30%. But it's a lot better to be 70% filled with the Spirit than it's raining down on me. We need to climb on up and every day get filled with the Spirit. How do you get filled with the Spirit? How do you generate the power? By speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit, staying in the Word. That's how we get filled. That's how we generate power. You want power? Then you have to do something. He's not just going to throw all this power right down on us without us praying living a holy life. He requires holiness. Holiness. He wants us to think holy thoughts. Because the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Can you say that? We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. You see, I know a lot of you think maybe we're very fanatical here. But many times in the past, we learned by our experiences, good and bad. Many times we have had people up in the dorms that try to have their own little meetings, you know, and they tell people such crazy things that they get everybody so mixed up. And that's why we like, if there's prophecy, we like to have it down here so that the other people can judge it. And, you know, there's been many cases over the years. I can tell you blood-curdling stories of how people have been mixed up because of people prophesying over their heads about weddings, about who they should marry. And all of that. Now, if you're asking the Lord for confirmations for something, and in the church, where the church is, we are all the church here. This building is not a church. You're the church. And a prophecy comes forth of confirmation, then others can judge it.
And if you've already been asking the Lord to show you something, if it's right for you to change jobs or to move or to do something, that's one thing. But if I come down over your head and say, let's say of the Lord, you are to quit your job and move to Chicago and start doing so-and-so, that's so silly, isn't it? And really, women are more taken up with that than men. That's why the Bible talks about silly women. Men are stronger, see? Men are stronger, aren't they? The Bible says we're all the weaker vessels. And so that's why we need, if there's a lot of gifts of prophecy operating, it should be judged. Yeah. It should be judged so it doesn't get out of line. And if it gets out of line, we need to have the guts to go and talk to the people and say, you're out of line.
If the person's of God and it's of God, they don't mind it being where it can be judged.
That's right. That's right. That's right. If they are really wanting to do right, they won't mind it being judged, and they won't mind to be corrected. We all need correction, and we can either go our own merry way and do as we think we ought to do and not have anybody praying for us about things that, if it's a drastic change. Then often, people have gotten into terrible problems and trouble. And it's worse in the charismatic realms, I think, than any other church, because there is a lot of move of the Spirit. And of course, the devil is stronger, fighting us and coming against us. And the more you move up into the heavenlies toward Zion, the more they're going to try to push you back, these evil powers and spirits. I've seen many preachers rise to the pinnacle, to the very top, have great and tremendous ministries, and then all of a sudden fall with some ungodly, unholy thing, and they bring lots of people down with them. And the people say, this is what they say, well, if he can't live it, I'll never be able to live it. And so that's what Satan wants us to say. It's a lie, see, it's a lie from the enemy. And many people will backslide over something that some minister does. That's why you can't be idolizing a man, a person. If you lean on the arm of flesh, the Bible says you get a curse on you. And if you only want to listen to, a lot of people say to me, well, I only listen to Kenneth Hagin, the only man I follow. Well, the Bible says we will not be perfected unless we are perfected through the fivefold ministries. The apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, and the evangelists. So everybody has something to give us. And you cannot listen to one man. I hope you don't listen to Brother Holzhauser or just Glenn and I or anybody like that. You need a full measure of ministry coming. And if you're in a church that never has an evangelist in, there are a lot of churches, the pastors will not have an evangelist in because they've been so hurt and so destroyed and had half of their members to run off after an evangelist that they just are soured on it and they don't want to have an evangelist then. But nevertheless, we need evangelists, we need pastors, we need prophets. Now, I know that there's a great following after people that prophesy over our heads. And it's very edifying, isn't it? Absolutely nothing wrong with it, but we can't just dwell on that. We'll be way out on a limb and Satan, no. You'll get a wrong prophecy one day and you'll crash to the ground. I've seen it happen. And it's happened in our lives, various things that we've learned through experience. Some things I learned from people teaching me and telling me, be careful, beware. And I've learned more and more, I'll say to the Lord, please don't spank me anymore, I want to be good. I want to do what you want me to do, just show me what you want me to do. Shouldn't that be all of our prayers? We want to know what the Lord wants, and we find that out by reading the Word. We find that out by reading the Word. What is another gift of the Spirit that some of you would like to have released today? Yes?
Faith.
Gift of faith. Yes? Tongues and interpretation. All right. Okay, what else? Healings. Miracles. Wisdom. We had that a minute ago, wisdom. Mm-hmm. All right, let's have a little workshop. Let's everybody pray in the Spirit, and I'm going to call on various ones to give a message in tongues and then somebody else to interpret. So get with it. I mean, be alert. Be alert to the Spirit of God. Let's see what the Holy Spirit is going to say to the church this afternoon. Pray in the Spirit. Everybody pray in the Spirit in unity now. We're talking to God. The Holy Spirit is talking to the Father now. Well, there's a scripture that says, pray that you will interpret. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that we might interpret what the Holy Spirit is saying through us. We thank you, Lord, for releasing the gift of interpretation to us. Now, Pat Andre, I wanted you to give that message. You had your hands up and the Lord was communicating. Just pray out in the Spirit now. Not too long, but just pray out in the Spirit in tongues. Lord, we just pray for the interpretation now. Just, Janet, you have it. Just start interpreting it.
Oh, my people.
Loud.
I love you, my people. I have called thee and chosen thee. I have chosen thee to walk in my ways and put my spirit within you. Know you this day, my people, I love thee. I love thee.
Praise God. Does everybody agree with that? It's the Holy Spirit, yes. Let's see. Dottie, you just give that tongue out now. Lord, we pray that we will interpret.
Today, my children, you're not here by heaven, Janet. You're here because of that service that you should. You hear that you might learn a minute, that you might know about the measures of faith and that the gifts of the Spirit, and that you might partake of them. Learn of me, I say unto thee. Listen and hearken to the voice of God.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody else, just put up your hand and pray in the Spirit. You can pray in the Spirit. Give a message here. Sure, come on. You're the one to ask for it. Lucifer. In the name of Jesus. I just move right on in. Takes a little bit more faith. Speak it out in English now. Go right ahead. Go ahead, you can do it. Everybody stand with her in faith now. I'm believing. Give the message again now. Louder. Speak around, always can. Start out in English. The Holy Spirit will give it to you. Get the first word or two and just start right on.
Start in English.
The power of God's coming down on you real strong now. Just did you get it, brother? We release her. For the gift of interpretation. We release her for the gift of interpretation. We release her for the gift of interpretation. See, in a workshop, a teacher just stays right with the pupil until they can do it. It's the Holy Ghost, see, in you. And I know those words come in your mind. You think, oh, that's just me. It's the Holy Spirit giving you those started. Okay.
As you enter
into my presence.
Into my presence. There are many mountains to climb, but I will give you the victory because I go before you.
Praise God. How was that? I knew you could do it. She didn't have very much power, but as I laid my hand on her, the power of God started to fall down upon her, and it just came down like fire and heat. And see, that's what we like to be all the time, have that fire and that heat. That's the anointing of God, see. Yeah. You practice that at home. Praying this. Oral Roberts is the very best one to train and teach. In the full gospel, he used to teach releasing of the gifts of the Spirit, especially tongues and interpretation. And he says he interprets maybe 300 or 400 times a day. So you can say, Kino de Borondola Casando, Lord Jesus, I love you. And just pray like that, and just pretty soon they'll just start rolling out, see? You can do it. Alma's shaking her head. You can do it. Now you give a message.
Parindiki Shandabahanta. Yay, Kiboto Sundu. Ah, Parindi Bikindabu Sulu de Bukinde. Tarindabasundabalade Bikinde. Ah, Mo Shikindi Bilidi. Polandabali de Masanta. Ah, Parindi Kindabahushindabalatabataya. Yay, Kimpo. Ansitabalabaki Kiboshinda. Larikiki. Oh, Mantiki.
Now just move right on in. Everybody stand with her in faith now. Believe. The Lord's going to speak to her now in English. The anointing's coming down upon her.
Here am I, a vessel, use me. Oh, yes, Lord, I'll be willing to serve thee. Increase my faith in the measure that thou would see to use me. Here am I, a vessel. Use me. Ha ha.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, now that's a little bit different kind of interpretation. That was like intercessory prayer, see? Intercessory prayer, and she interpreted that. See, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what we need to pray for, more than we know. See, more than we know. Now, how about you give the message in time?
On the book, Yandere, Keiko, so Yandere, Boko, Yandere, Yandere, Boko, Yete, Yandere, Boko, Yete, Boko, Yandere, Yandere, Boko, Yete, Yandere, Boko, Yandere, Boko, Sunday, Kerandere, Turboko, Yandere, Soro, Yoko, Yandere, Kenandere, Boko, Azi, Turboko.
Okay. I think the girl over on the end has the interpretation to speak it right out. I don't know how to get this thing off from around my neck. You want to come over here?
Foolishness, foolishness, foolishness. Some of you are saying in your heart that this is foolishness, that the things of the kingdom of God are foolishness, that the things of deliverance are foolishness. But things that are foolishness to you are the wisdom of God. They're foolishness unto you because you have prideful heart. You would enter in, you would desire me with all of your heart, then I would set you free. And I would have you to be set free, my children and my people. So purge the pride from the side of your heart and receive from me what I have for you. Forget your foolish ways and yield yourself unto me.
Now that's a direction, isn't it? So we've got to ask the Lord to purge us from pride. Right now we're going to have another. See, we never know in these Holy Ghost meetings what the Lord's going to do or what he wants to do. So he wants us to purge our hearts of pride. Let's just start asking him, Lord, purge us from pride. Cut into us and prune us, Lord. Purge us from prideful acts and prideful words. Purge us, Lord Jesus. Purge us, Lord Jesus. Cleanse us, Lord, from pride. Cleanse us, Lord, from pride. Cleanse us, Lord. Purge us. Restore us, Lord. Restore us, Lord. Restore us, Lord. Oh, yes. Purge us, Jesus. Deliver us from pride. Deliver us from pride. Arrogance. All pride, pride, proud flesh. Deliver us, Lord, from proud flesh. Deliver us and set us free from proud flesh. We come against pride. We command it to come out of us. Come out in Jesus' name. All the pride, come out in Jesus' name. All the pride in here. All the pride, the secret little parts of our heart with pride. Come out of her in Jesus' name. Come out of her in Jesus' name. Spirit of pride, come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of pride, spirit of embarrassment, come out. Spirit of pride in Jesus' name. Spirit of pride. That's right, come out. Pride, come out in Jesus' name. Pride, come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of 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 pride, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of pride. Spirit of pride. Come out in Jesus' name.
Glory go with you. The gang is haughtiness and vainglory.
Haughtiness and vainglory. Come out also. Come out with the whole bunch of you. Come out in Jesus' name. Deliver us, Lord, from haughtiness, vainglory. Haughtiness and vainglory. In Jesus' name. Be quiet and come out. Be quiet and come out of him in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out, pride, in Jesus' name. Come out, pride, in Jesus' name. Arrogance. Arrogance. Come out. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Pride. Pride. Leviathan, come out. Leviathan, come out of these people in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Pride. Quiet down, spirit. Okay, quiet down and come out of her now. Come out of her in Jesus' name. Looser. Pride, come out. Pride. Religious pride, come out. Religious pride. Religious pride, come out of all these people. Religious pride, come out of us. Come out, religious pride. In Jesus' name. Come out. Religious pride. Religious pride, come out. Religious pride, come out of us in Jesus' name. Religious pride, come out. Haughty. Haughty spirit. Haughty spirit. She wants to be delivered of a haughty spirit. Everybody pray. In the name of Jesus, we bind haughtiness and we command it to come out now in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Haughtiness. Haughtiness. Come out in Jesus' name. Glenn, tell him to come back Friday. All interfering spirits we bind in Jesus' name. All interfering spirits. Haughtiness. All haughtiness. All haughtiness. Release her. Release her. See, the minute you bring things to light, the enemy wants to leave quick. He doesn't want to be let embarrassed or anything. So everybody that thinks they have haughtiness or feel haughty at times, say haughtiness. I want you to go now.
I want you to go now.
In Jesus' name. All right, let them go in Jesus' name. We bind you, haughtiness. Come out in Jesus' name. Haughtiness. Haughtiness. Come out in Jesus' name. Rebellion. Come out in Jesus' name. And haughtiness. Haughtiness. Come out. Haughtiness. Come out in Jesus' name. Haughtiness. Come out. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from haughtiness. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from haughtiness. Pride and haughty spirits must go. They don't belong in the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, where were we? Oh, Lori, I was getting ready to ask you to give a message in tongues. Everybody get your faith going again now.
Well, when I was praying earlier, mm-hmm. you started praying for interpretation, mm-hmm. and I was praying the same thing. So what I had gotten was that, oh, Lord, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Holy
Spirit, I am. At home, when you're in your private prayer closet, pray, you know, pray a few lines in the Lord's and say, Lord, interpret, give me that in English, and the words that come to your mind right then, just say them out loud. So, and right away, the devil will come right away. The devil will come right away and say, that was you. And you say, it sure was, and I'm going to keep on doing it. And he'll soon leave. He'll soon leave. I want Sandy and Patty and Charlene to come over here. Get in this little class. They've had experience.
Daughters of Zion, you must begin to guard, because that is the sin that comes upon all the daughters of Zion, is haughtiness. It'll spread a snare for your feet. And this afternoon, cleanse your vessel that you will not be in that group of the daughters of Zion who walk haughty, prancing as they go. Walk humble in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Apostle. You agree with that? Okay.
We've got a judge in here now.
I never did interpret anything, but I can give a message.
All right. Would you interpret that from the parish, please?
For thus saith the Lord to... Spirit, you have many times said to yourselves, there's nothing I can do. I'm of no value. I'm no use in the kingdom of God. Stop bemeaning yourselves. Stop putting yourselves down, for behold, you are the sons of God. And I can use you mightily. All I'm waiting for is for you to humble yourselves and surrender yourselves. Give yourselves fully to me, and I, by my Spirit, will do great things through you. I will speak through you, and I will work through you mighty works that will amaze the multitudes. Behold, it's time that you take your eyes off yourselves and turn your eyes upon Jesus, and I will do this thing that I have promised, saith the Lord.
Everybody agree with that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're having a little workshop of releasing these people in the gift of spirit.
Praise.
God is in this house to deliver. As you seek me, as you repent before me, as you allow the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus to come down over you, for yea, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I shall give you the desires of your heart. As you seek my face, as you bow your knee, as you seek my face and come unto me and be willing to bend and to be broken, I will give you the desires of your heart. As you seek my face, as you seek my face.
Praise Jesus. What he wants to do is seek his face. Seek his face.
You have something?
Hallelujah. But you sometimes say in your heart, I must have understanding. God, I must have understanding before I can receive deliverance from you. I must understand what's happening before me. All of these things seem so ridiculous, and all of these things seem so foolish. But I would say unto my people that how can you have understanding if you will not receive deliverance? How can you understand? How can you know? How can you see what I am doing if you will not receive me as deliverer? How can you have understanding without having your minds renewed? So I would say to you, my sons and my daughters, that you must humble yourselves before me and receive me, embrace me as your deliverer, for I am the deliverer, and I will deliver you. I will set your minds free that you will have understanding, and you will see, and you will have revelation of deliverance.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Does everybody agree with that? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Humble ourselves. How do we humble ourselves? Derek Prince used to tell us the best way is to fast. So tomorrow we're going to practice that. Everybody in one accord about fasting? Now, if we miss you, we'll know you've gone uptown to eat. So you better be in the sanctuary. Praise the Lord. Anybody else want? I wanted you to give one. To get rid of this fear.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yea, I would say unto thee, my people, harden not thy hearts as in the day of provocation, saith the Lord. But yea, yield thyselves unto me, saith the Lord. Yea, be ye submissive unto my spirit, saith the Lord. And yea, I shall come forth and make myself real unto thee, saith the Lord. Yea, thou shalt leave this place knowing in thy heart, yea, even beyond a shadow of doubt, that I am the Lord thy God. Yea,
and I am he that ruleth over thee. Yea, in thy heart, mine, saith the Lord thy God. Yea, I have chosen thee, saith the Lord. Yea, even before the foundation of the earth, if thou should walk this way. Yea, therefore I say unto thee, my people, harden not thy hearts, but yea, come unto me. Yea, and I will teach thee my way, saith the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord, Lord, we want to learn. We come to you. We come to you. We want you to teach us, Lord, by your Spirit. Teach us, Lord, by your Spirit.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.